You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown ass finding this.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. We're kicking open the doors to the China Shop, busting them wide open. I might have broken some glass. I kicked it so hard. I'm so excited. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of FinancialNeptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I had a rough day today, but that's why today's guest is that much more special.
Yes, that much more meaningful. You wanna introduce the special guest of the day?
No, because I'm going to mispronounce it.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, joining us today are the infamous Leo and Flary from Order Flow Labs. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
It's a good day. It's Monday. Markets are mooning from the sell off a little bit here. So it's been good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The Perma Bull would say that.
It's good when you don't get stopped out. When you get stopped out on a bottom tick and then it takes off, that just ruins your entire day.
Did I hear Leo is a Perma Bull?
Yes. He's definitely a Perma Bull.
Okay. Well, I am aligned with the higher time frame. So, you know, just go look at a 20-year chart of the NASDAQ or the ES and tell me what you see.
Up and to the right.
Give me a minute.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's like, hang on, guys. I need to do my homework.
Okay. And what is the ES?
Oh. I'm not really sure.
What is
that? Yeah, I thought you trade mostly NASDAQ, Leo.
It's only NASDAQ these days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why do you trade the NASDAQ so much then? I mean, that when I've looked at the DOM on that, it just looks like volatility crack to me.
Exactly. I mean, okay. That's why I trade it. No, I just think there's many more opportunities intraday in NASDAQ versus NQ, where you can have, you know, some 15 to 20 point rotations in NASDAQ while ES is like, you know, it's moved 2 points.
Right.
So I just think you get more opportunities. It's obviously a thinner book, so it makes more extreme moves, you know, when it does move. So if you're on the right side of that, it's a lot of fun. If you're on the wrong side, obviously it sucks. But, you know, the goal is to be on the right side more than you are on the wrong side. So,
what kind of stop do you use when you trade the NASDAQ?
It really depends on volatility. But in normal, like, you know, VIX 20 or 23 environment, I'm probably like a 12 to 15 point stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or recently it's, I think something more like, 17 to 20 is more or less relevant.
Did you say point or tick?
Points.
Wow. Okay. So you trade with big stops.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for different type of moves, I guess. I'm not necessarily, scalping for 5 or 10 point trade.
Okay, so not like George over at Trade Pro Academy, where he's looking more for, I think he likes, you know, 6 lots and get 3 points on those 6, and he's happy.
Yeah, we're a little bit different from a style standpoint on that, I think.
Yeah, that's not Leo's runner game, that's for sure.
What about you, Flary? What do you prefer to trade?
Definitely in the NASDAQ crew. Started in ES, but over the summer months, just completed the transition pretty much 100% to NQ. Mm-hmm. I will definitely take some A-plus setups in like Ultra Bonds, CL, and still ES, but NQ is definitely where I spend most of my time.
All right. Wow. And that, is that everybody over at Orderflows then? Is more your tools geared towards the NASDAQ market, or do they work for basically everything?
The guys that created Orderflow Labs would be me, Flary, Job, Cap, and Corey. We would be, I would say we trade NQ, ES, CL, and then sometimes dabble into the bond market. So mostly UB from that standpoint. But I would say most of our crew, including like us and the traders in our group, are trading NQ and ES predominantly. And then there's some guys that trade like the Russell and the Dow. But I mean, the tools are geared towards any market that has a central order book. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily required, you know, that you trade a NASDAQ or ES even to utilize what we have.
Well, I guess why don't we take a step back then? You can kind of tell us a little bit about Order Flow Labs and how you guys came about like forming this.
It's kind of a long story. We all started we met, all five of us are literally strangers that met online. You know, so it's kind of crazy from that standpoint, because, you know, we all just started through various Discords or Twitter, just kind of met each other and found, just we started trading together, and then we met a coder Corey is our coder. So we would just say, hey, Corey, can you code this and this and this? And it was like our way on how we viewed the market, or, mm-hmm. you know, like we wanted to automate, you know, something inside of Sierra Chart, which is where we trade. And then, you know, he would make it. And then we thought, well, we have like this pretty large set of tools at this point. You know, maybe there's interest from the broader audience to use this stuff as well, you know, because it's all based on volume profile, delta, you know, time and sales, you know, just mm-hmm. different things that are happening either right now in the order book or in history, utilizing that same information. So that was the start of Order Flow Labs. Was literally just like, we would ask Corey to code X, Y, and Z, and then it would happen, and then we would expand on that, and then, you know, it just grew into this thing where we were like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's maybe this could help some other people too.
So how long ago was that when you guys like first started just fooling around?
2.5 years ago, I think.
Okay, the reason why I ask is that we've got some coders that have gotten into our Discord, and it feels like we might be following kind of a similar path.
Yeah.
So we've got 2.5 years, Dan, before we should be expert traders then.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I still have likes.
If only there was somebody else who'd already done the work where we could just throw some money at them and get these tools.
Yeah, for real. I still have like all of my old chart books where we did everything via spreadsheet study. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's what I'm doing right now.
So,
Yep. Yeah, memory lane there.
Yeah. So, you know, we could do some consulting work for you guys if you want, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So how many different studies do you guys have on your, like what different products do you guys offer?
So it's there's three categories that we have tools for. One is what you might refer to market structure or price action, or, you know, just kind of gives you an area of interest, or, you know, some people refer them to as pivots, mm-hmm. Or like a retracement zone. So like one of our tools is called buy sell zones.
Yeah. I was looking at that one. That looks really neat.
Right. So that's just measuring a retracement from a previous high and low and giving you an area like, okay, well, if you miss that move, here's a retracement opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you have that. And then you have like the pivot stuff that's based on volume profile or delta. And then you have our execution tools, which is like, where it gives you a little pointy thing that you know, indicates, some people see that and they're like, oh, that just says, I just point buy or sell here and it's that simple. it's not that simple in the sense that it's not like how we would teach or educate folks on how to use this stuff. Mm-hmm. But those execution tools are reading the bids and offers coming into the market, speed, of those, and then looking for either momentum changes or just kind of specific scenarios of exhaustion or absorption or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have your execution tools, and then the last piece that we're kind of doing right now is automation tools to make your life easier as a trader. So
okay,
the study that we're working on right now is pretty straightforward. It's called MGI, so market generated information. And now we have like this one study that's going to give you, you know, all the market generated information that you would be looking for. So your previous day high and low, your overnight high and low, Previous day value area high and low in VPOC, overnight high low value area high low in VPOC, and then like your VWAPs, you know, like if you run a 24-hour VWAP or an RTH VWAP, you can have both of those. So just automating that process, because it's not always easy to gather that in Sierra or Motive Wave or Ninja. Like it can be kind of a complex thing to get all that stuff together. And so our goal from that standpoint is just to be able to open a chart, put a study on, and you've got all the stuff that you want to see as a trader automatically.
All the important stuff.
It's nice seeing somebody finally trying to make Sierra charts more user-friendly. I think Dan had an experience. What were you trying to look up where you saw like the actual like tech support team from Sierra and they basically said, figure it out?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what specific thing. I've been playing with spreadsheet trading and trying to find different stuff. And when you're deep diving on the support boards, there's a lot of times where they're like, that's just a programming question and we don't answer those. Like, look, we figure it out. You figure it out.
Yeah. You figure it out.
That's their motto.
You do it.
One of the things looking through your website that had me cracking up when you go to the About Us is you've got Twitter haters on there. So who are these 1,109 Twitter haters?
might need to add one or two to that total since the website got published. Oh, yeah. they come out of the woodworks every week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You're never short of haters. That's when you know you're doing good.
So this is just people who get on Twitter to talk shit about you?
Oh, yeah, you know. Order flow doesn't work. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh,
usually,
really?
Usually their account was created like 2 months ago and they have like two followers and
no profile pic.
No profile. And they just come on to troll us. It's probably our competitors, you know?
Probably, yeah. Or they work for Sierra. Stop making it easy. Too many people are using. Okay, and then cups of coffee a day, 287.
Like, dude, I'm drinking a cup right now.
Oh, really? My gosh. Really? Yeah.
Wow.
I try to cut it by noon, but yeah, usually at least a good pot in.
How do you guys sleep?
Oh, this last 2 weeks has been too brutal. Just been up so late trading the Asia Euro sessions. It's just been so clean. I mean, you can't pass up the opportunity.
Do you guys do anything with algorithm trading, or is this all just custom studies?
So just custom studies now. So it is definitely still like discretionary trading based upon the conditions that you have set up and how you have them calibrated. Mm-hmm. So you still ultimately are the button clicker each and every day.
Do you guys, have you ever messed around with any of the automated trading, or is that something that you try to stay away from?
It's something that we're definitely open to. But again, kind of the vision as well with OrderFlow Labs is to create this set of tools, obviously geared around order flow and some other things, with the idea that through the pattern recognition, through sort of like that shapes, colors, and education, that ultimately the users can kind of get a feel for what's happening while they're watching the DOM, while they're seeing some of these conditions being met, some of the signals firing on their charts. Could you code in or create some alerts to automate some of the setups that you see, like maybe a combination of coming into a level that you're interested in, or that you had pre-marked, and then one of the tools kind of having that condition met. But right now, it's basically just trying to educate folks on how to make those discretionary decisions based upon the setups that they see and the combination of those.
The reason why I think I'm so interested in that is I think lately coming to the conclusion that it's the operator that's the issue.
Yeah.
And if I can take as much out of the operator's hands, then that might make things a little bit better for me.
Yeah, like trying to short the highs today.
I didn't do that. No, I just had a hard time getting it.
You're not alone. We did too.
Yeah, I was going to say. There's at least 75% of this of this group did for sure.
It can't keep going up. Look at those sellers coming in. Look at those those offers stacked. Look at them stacking. No, it's going down.
Every time I think I'm right, that's when trouble happens.
Yeah, I'm most familiar with your dot chart, your dot study from watching George's calls. If I were to load
the reconstructed tape, is that the study?
That's the recon tape.
Reconstructed tape. Yeah. Now, if I were to load that in my Sierra charts, would I be able to see those signals coming through in a spreadsheet?
So you can use the Sierra spreadsheet study certainly to export anything that we have identified in what Sierra calls like an SG. We have a few of our studies that just do like user drawings. So those obviously you can't export the user drawings currently in Sierra, but anything that we have that's an SG, you can export and then sort of take that data and you know, organize it in whatever way to kind of back test through spreadsheets, which it sounds like is some of the stuff that you guys are looking at right now.
I've been doing a lot of it. Going down rabbit holes.
Yeah. Dan disappeared for about 2 weeks.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fun so stuff. Easy to do that.
Right. Oh, man. So how, okay. So how many different studies do you guys have then?
I think there's about 20 at this point.
Whoa.
And you have plans to, do you have information on like how to actually utilize them?
Yes. So our Discord has an EDU channel that's dedicated to each study. So it kind of describes what it is, tells you how to put it on your chart, has a video guide on how to put it on your chart. And then also, you know, some of the A+ setups or utilization of each tool is on that as well. So it's kind of a step-by-step guide for each study that's available and how to use it. It's pretty detailed, I would say.
Your Discord, is that open to anybody or is that something that you subscribe to?
It's only available to members right now.
Okay.
We've kind of toyed with the idea of opening up some version of Orderflow Labs that would be, you know, just available to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, it's just for exclusive members only.
Ooh, private access.
Hear that, Dan?
Exclusive.
I don't know the meaning of the word.
Given the fact that we've been talking about the open Discord, I'm suspect that Leo didn't prime that question from you guys.
No, he did not.
Leo, had you guys tee that one up?
I needed to join another one.
I'll PayPal you later for that question. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no problem. So, Leo, I hear your wife is very attractive and you have huge genitals. Can we talk more about that?
Oh, my God. No, I paid for that one. Yeah.
Wait, was that Flary?
I'm confused.
Oh, shit. So, how long have you guys been trading then? Is this something that you guys have been doing for a long time, or have you just kind of recently transitioned in the last couple of years, like you said, when you were kind of all met up?
I've been trading for about 7 years now. I started in the options market.
Mm-hmm.
I got into like the options order flow. You know, like you can subscribe to like Cheddar Flow or Unusual Whales or Black Box Stocks or whatever. So I used to have one of those. And then I would just chase like, you know, whatever the bigger trades were coming in. Mm-hmm. And then try to figure out based on that data, who the Nigerian brothers were going to pump on CNBC that day. It's always my joke. But it's actually a legit game that you can play.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. We've been saying that for over a year now.
So after that, I got like a little tired of having my head on a swivel and then carrying these trades overnight, you know, the overnight risk and whatnot. And so I kind of stepped away for a while, and then I came back to the futures market and have enjoyed that quite significantly because, one, you don't have to worry about overnight stuff if you're not carrying anything overnight. And then also the tax benefits are pretty significant.
Oh, I didn't even...
versus the normal stock and options trading.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys in Canada?
No.
Huh. What's the difference?
Well, I'm not a CPA.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But essentially the first 60% of your profits are taxed at a lower rate than the rest of them. I think it's 60%. I'm not.
Is that just with the pattern day trader tag, or is that
no?
Just because futures in general.
It's futures in general.
Really?
Yeah. Asking for a friend. Are there any special things about writing off your losses? Any special tricks? Right. Not myself, a friend.
You need that pattern day trader tag, Dan.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that's good about trading futures is you don't have to have a specific account size to be able to trade.
Right. You know. Have either of you guys ever accidentally held a contract through settlement period or the expiration of it?
Just like not the overnight settlement?
No, like I'm long a contract of oil, and tomorrow I get a phone call saying, "Where do you want your 1,000 barrels?"
Oh no!
But our friend, definitely not there.
Our friend Frog Trades had an experience similar to that. But
really,
yeah, maybe
Cornmageddon.
So he was long, like he had just started trading futures. Maybe I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just started trading corn. But so he's in a corn futures trade. I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 lots, you know, something wasn't like massive.
It's a lot of bushels.
It's a lot of bushels of corn.
Yeah.
So apparently he was like, oh, I'm just going to swing this overnight because he's pretty confident. Maybe he had some profit on the trade or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't know that there was a USGS or some farm report. The crop report.
Oh no!
Was coming out like in between the close and the open.
Oh shit!
And so he was like, "There's nothing he could have done."
Yeah, too late.
Like, you could try to hedge with the ETF, the related ETF, but luckily the report wasn't of any significant consequence, and he was able to get out of his trade, but.
That sounds a lot like the end of Trading Places. With the orange harvest.
Yeah.
Harvest report.
Gotta get the crop report.
Well, and like good friends, of course we tortured them, and we all got on a Zoom and watched the market open live, and you know, made them sweat it with the group real time.
Oh God. The reason why I ask is Dan and I have been considering writing a movie. We think it'd be hilarious to have a new futures trader doesn't know what he's doing, but then ends up getting stuck with, you know, a bunch of commodities that he has to figure out how to move.
A tanker ship.
Yeah. A few tankers of oil, some bushels of corn. A
where do you want these pigs?
Bellies.
Ew.
Yeah.
You could remake that movie. What's it called?
Which one?
Isn't there a movie like that?
Is there? God damn it. There better not be.
Already a movie like that. Fuck.
You're late.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
You guys are late.
Always late. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Let's dive back in more towards your guys' personal trading strategies then. Like, what was like the biggest obstacle that you guys had to overcome, and how did you actually overcome that?
Oh man. I think just like the journey that most traders go through is trying to find that golden indicator, right? Or that, mm-hmm. that setup system that, you know, somebody can just share to you. So I definitely think that journey, was one that I went down, you know, trying to, if it's going to be price action patterns. And then, you know, when you discover order flow, trying to go through all the different things and, you know, volume profiling, TPO profiling, all that stuff. But, mm-hmm. I think for me, the big breakthrough was when I started focusing on setups and setup oriented, trading, and finding patterns that I saw repeat over and over in the market. And just focusing on those few setups and trying to identify the different categories of those setups and just like the expectation of those things. You know, you guys mentioned kind of breaking out into the spreadsheets. I love taking like the data from a setup that I have and mm-hmm. then looking at, you know, average MAE, MFE and kind of building brackets and stuff based around that. And then just trying to focus my trading on those setups, especially if I'm in a mode of like struggling. I'll always revert back to that, like, okay, filter it down to just a couple of your core A+ setups, wait for those to hit, regain that confidence in your trading, yourself, and kind of those execution points, mm-hmm. and then kind of going from there. But yeah, that journey is tough. And I think, you know, probably most traders have spent hours and hours like combing YouTube and trying to find that EDU content. And, you know, it can definitely be a rabbit hole, as we said earlier. But I think when you find a few things that you can filter down to that you like and focus on those, that's where you start to see that sort of growth And then filtering in and adding in components from other people that you trade with or, you know, ask smart questions to, you know, and analyzing what they're doing and seeing if any of that stuff deserves, you know, to be kind of in your process and really just building that process. Like my day is the same, and Leo probably make fun of me because of all the different things that I look at. But my homework is the same every single day, every single morning. And it's just a routine. So, you know, I only look at these things. I do listen to some of the stuff that the other guys are doing and see how that is confluent to the levels that I've looked at or the setups that I'm looking at. But the process is the same day in and day out. And then it's just rinse, repeat, and kind of work on that execution piece.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, you mentioned like the looking at, you know, like you learn a new, you know, indicator or a new tool, and then like you go all in on that. And then, you know, you find the next one and then you go all in on that one. It seems like that's almost kind of necessary to get like as much experience as you can with as many different tools and features before you can finally like come to the conclusion of like, okay, this is the one that works best for me. This is the one that I'm good at. Like you almost need to kind of go through that learning and trial and error period.
Yeah, that like kind of coming of passage of like finding what works for you by kind of trying a little bit of everything. But I think it's really important to, once you do find something that resonates with your style of trading, your comfortability with risk and the risk around that setup or what you're looking at, to really dive in and focus on that. Mm-hmm. And just constantly being aware of all the things that you're processing in a day and making sure that they're paying rent. Like if something is part of your process or your homework process each day, and you know the setup doesn't come up very often, or it doesn't have a good expectancy compared to the other stuff, you know, being analytical from that regard of like making sure that all the things that you're bringing into your daily routine really do pay rent in one way, shape, or form, I think is hyper critical.
What about you, Leo?
Well, I'm not as process oriented as Flurry, and sometimes that's to my detriment because he has done his homework. But I've turned the corner a little bit, and I picked up on I didn't pick up on them. I just steal them straight from Flurry, because why reinvent the wheel?
All right.
So a lot of that homework I've started to incorporate into my own process, which lately it's been really paying off. So
did you say hasn't or has been?
It has.
Okay, good. Nothing worse than
what
it would be awkward if I said it's really not working.
Yeah, exactly.
This process is terrible.
This homework is sucks.
Today in ES was a beautiful example of that. It was one of the patterns that I follow. We kind of jokingly call it the three-finger Leroy setup because it just doesn't care. When you see this setup go, it just kind of it usually has an expectancy to move in the direction of this pattern. And today's pattern in ES was a open drive higher. And when one of our tools, which is the session delta pivots, when in three congruent sessions, so last RTH, this Asia, and then the last Euro session, all sort of progress higher in the delta builds. Like when I say higher, I mean price. So let's say it was, you know, 44.40, and then the next pivot was 44.45, and then 44.50. You can sort of box that area and then look to trade against it as a breakout. And today we broke out, back tested it to the tick, and then, you know, we all know what happened for the rest of the day in ES. And I've been saying for 3 weeks on Twitter and in our room, as soon as ES open drives, I am not fading it all day. And sure enough, what did I do towards the end of the day? Got bored and started trying to fade the top. But nonetheless, my favorite setup, my A-plus setup today in ES fired. So that's one of the few times that I'll jump into the ES street still.
What was the name of that setup, by the way? I need to look, one up.
The three-finger Leroy. You'll see it on my Twitter a bunch, too. Three-finger Leroy. You won't find that in any YouTube content anywhere, unless it's from us. I like to name the setups funny stuff.
I like it.
Good acronyms. Yeah.
Keeps it original.
So what's a four-finger Leroy?
Well, you don't want to know.
If you got to ask, you can't afford it.
Very few can fit that fourth finger.
You really got to work at it. Dan, you got anything? Yeah, I don't want to hog all the time.
No, I'm always just really interested in hearing about the process and how the tools can help someone's process.
I can jump into that a little bit. You know, I think, you know, Leo mentioned that we have sort of, or, you know, really just anybody, but the Ortofo Labs tools, we have, you know, structural tools that help you kind of define an area of interest. And this kind of goes into my style of trading a little bit too, but our structural tools, which I use to define areas of interest or areas where I'm considering doing business. And then we have the execution tools, which sort of confirm that area. So it's like area of interest, tools confirm, and then I'll typically either go into the DOM and start watching for some of the patterns that I'd like to see from DOM activity, or even some of our really hyper-focused low time frame tools from an execution standpoint. And that three-step process of like an area of interest, area where I want to do business, tools confirming, and then execution on either the DOM or the low time frame tools, that one, two, three is usually what will trigger me into a trade. Mm-hmm. But some of those structural tools, for me, most of them are based around delta and kind of monitoring what I would call like the historical aggressive auction. So, you know, high delta coming in, where was it, especially historically, like tracking where in the auction in the last legs have they, you know, come into the market with an aggressive amount of delta, and being able to kind of track those levels through some of the tools that we have and watch those patterns and how they kind of build the auction around that. So that historical delta, the volume and our work around the Joe pivots and kind of monitoring inventory and where you're kind of at in that inventory process really helps kind of keep me patient. And I suffer from that big time. I mean, I did today when you just kind of get bored and, you know, it's like, all right, well, I'm gonna start shorting this thing. But, right? Because what else are you going to do? Yeah, we're way up here, so let's short it, right? And,
I wouldn't go long. It's too late to go long.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and then 50 points later on ES, even.
50, yeah.
I know. But yeah, so that process of kind of like that area of interest, you know, tools confirming, and then the execution either on the DOM or with some of the, you know, more focused tools is really important, at least for me in my process, to make sure that I'm not just jumping in trades. Because I think with order flow, one of the things that new traders can end up doing is kind of going down that rabbit hole of like, well, the order flow can change so frequently. So if you're just taking execution tools, certainly if your style is scalping, I can see where you can narrow in on you know, even more focused lower time frame setups that are constantly changing. But that is definitely a different muscle that, like, I'm long, I'm short, you know, just a few points here, a few points there, is not really where I try to focus. So that's why it's, you know, I might see a couple of our tools satisfy a condition, you know, and they're firing, but they're not firing in an area where I'm interested. So, you know, it's kind of like learning to avoid the order flow or monitor it so that it can kind of build into the area that you're interested in, and then waiting for it to confirm when you're in that area. And for me, that's like that big piece. And a little credit to Leo there, because he would probably attest that in my earlier versions of kind of getting introduced to order flow, I was very much comfortable with kind of getting in and getting out of the market multiple times, especially even in like one leg up or one leg down, and just kind of trying to trade all the rotations. And I found some pretty good success recently trying to focus in a little bit more on like the larger moves and being aware of, we say this all the time, like, hey, did we just buy the low a day here? And how would we manage this trade differently if we did just buy the low of the day here? And then are the tools from a higher time frame confirming that there's some confluence between the low time frame market participants, the high time frame market participants, and does my entry kind of align with that? Where maybe I'm gonna hold on to this in a little different manner than I would if I was kind of buying just like a pop pullback type thing. So.
Yeah, that corresponds to the more successful trades I was having last week. In trading multiple contracts and having half of them be a runner, able to kind of treat that runner like, okay, if this is the point of the shift of the move and it never revisits this, like, I don't want to get lost in 10 points. I want to try and get 20, 30, 40. I want to get the whole move. And definitely was not doing that today.
hard to do on trend days sometimes to just sit there and hold. But I think that's important too, of like, there's so much nuance in trading that's outside of something that's like just like a moving average or VWAP or any indicator that you can have, of just recognizing some of the patterns and price action behavior and the way that market participants are either coming into the market or leaving the market when you did buy the low, or you know, when they do decide to, like, you know, push and break, you know, in NQ and ES, they kind of broke out of that lower distribution that we've been in for, you know, at least all of last week. You know, and they had that bottoming type structure. Leo, take the credit for saying the bottom was in on Friday. I'm a little perma bear, so a little bit of a perma bear. So I like to fade, but you know, when they broke out of that, just the way you can see those market participants start to come into the market, I think that's a great example of when, like, you should be able to adjust your either your brackets or your take profit strategy for the possibility that, yes, you did in fact just potentially buy below a breakout. Your entry is now well protected, and then managing your risk accordingly, or even better yet, sort of adding to that position once you kind of know that you maybe have a really nice position and what I would call like a risk-free trade. Which is a really tough thing to do. It's so counterintuitive that it's easy to add to a loser, but it's hard to add to a winner. It makes no sense. But it's, I mean, that's just like, I think all traders struggle with that. And building that confidence of like truly trusting your read of where you got into the position and then how you would allocate risk according to where your entry is such a huge edge that I think actually a lot of people have. It's just that pulling the trigger piece of like, you got a pretty good idea that you might have just bought that like trap below overnight low, and now they're going to go rip it back up to, you know, the opening range, and then they get above the opening range, and your stop or your entry is very well protected. And, you know, when you find yourself in that situation, you can be a little bit more aggressive or even like less particular about where you buy that pullback to add to your position. Mm-hmm. Because you don't need to be so methodical when you've already got, say, a 40, 50 point runner and your stop's well protected. Potentially this is a low a day type move. You're giving bull examples here because it looks like we're going to rip, but you know, and how you can then sort of add to that trade in a risk-free manner where you pull that average up and, you know, you can, you know, sort of allocate some of the points that hopefully you've already captured. But you mentioned runners, and I think that's a huge piece too, of like getting to that point where, you know, you can scale out, or I like to call it like buying expectancy of the trade, where you can sort of use some portion, whatever your strategy is, if it's 30% or 50%, 60% of your core position, and you can use the profit that you've realized on that core to sort of buy the expectancy of those runners. And in that, you kind of need to know where you're going too. Mm-hmm. So today I think we probably overshot that target or expectations a little bit, you know, for most, at least for me, but, you know, knowing that this trade has the potential, you know, in ES to go, you know, another 80 points, or, you know, NQ, once it broke that lower distribution, you know, could we potentially like go get, you know, this 14.8 area, you know, even, you know, 14.9, 15,000, like who knows? I mean, we saw what an 800 point intraday rotation last week. So
yeah,
just craziness.
You saw that on the NASDAQ?
Yeah, I mean, in NQ today, I think, so for some of the work that I look at, tracking the pivots, we had an RTH pivot, which was also aligned with like sort of the support resistance zone where buyers needed to get above 14, like 356 off the top of my head. I've got my Sierra closed. But once we got above that 14,356 area and they sort of gained that lower distribution and turned it to true accumulation, I think there was a pretty good opportunity to trade up into the next section or the next balance. And from a pivot perspective for Delta, there was no RTH Delta until just about where we closed today. I think we came like 7 points short. And so I would call that a void. So I monitored it as like voids and clusters, where you have clusters of high delta, and then you have voids where there is no delta. And typically what you see is that initiative push and like sort of that delta unwind through those voids as it just like rips right through to the next pivot. And the opportunity trade today was above that 14,356, you know, targeting ultimately That next pivot at the other end of that void. Did I capture all of it? Of course I didn't, but good enough is kind of a mantra that I've learned from a good trading friend. Good enough doesn't mean you still don't FOMO it or try to short the top when you get bored at the end of the day. But I think that, like recognizing those opportunities where if you can recognize a trend day early, and what are some of the traits of a trend day? Like when we pull back in the afternoon, do we hold VWAP? Do we give up the RTH developing mid? That's a huge one for me for trend days. And I think that's like a great nuance thing that all traders should be watching of like when that A period breaks out, and B period never pulls back into VWAP, or if it does pull back, it holds VWAP in developing mid or OR high. And I use a 30-second opening range, but those are huge opportunities to, again, like, let's say you have a protected entry to add to that position with maybe a little bit less accuracy than you would need to on your original entry and bring that average up and sort of enter into that risk-free trade where you could potentially have, you know, multiple R's on in the trade and really start to grow that account. That's why I think you see a lot of veteran traders talk about the opportunities that are on trend days and being able to identify whether it's a trend day setup or just, you know, whatever setup that you have. When you've truly nailed it, how do you then capitalize on that to the best of your ability?
God damn, you are one smart bastard. I can listen to you talk all day.
What got you into futures, Flary?
It was not the products that I ever even like planned to trade. I came from a poker background that transferred into crypto and basically just like a buy and hold or not really even know what I'm owning type thing turned into, I can pull up this exchange and, this is how I will, turn it from, the asset into like USDT or whatever. And then I realized, you can trade on this. And, that was like my first experience in exchanges and, got lucky with timing and, how could you really mess up like 2017 crypto and, really just from there started finding that interest and like just that like very pattern oriented. So like going down sort of that rabbit hole of like, what do I want to be as a trader? What do I want to look for and trying to find a system? And then just kind of developed that, probably got way luckier than I ever should have been, trading crypto and then started trying to like just passive income trade stocks and up to some success. But, never really focused on like a system or, what was going to be my trading style. And then as it just sort of like grew the idea that, I wanted to be a trader, the passion for just the markets and just kind of watching them, through sort of that journey found, sort of somebody locally that was a trader and they traded futures and that kind of got me into futures trading. And I still remember reaching out to this individual and the first thing that they said, because I had this idea that like I knew enough about trading that if I could just stand over another trader's shoulder while they were trading, that would be all I need, right? Like I just need to see how does a trader really trade, which is so far from the truth because that just wouldn't do anybody any good to actually do that. Which is it's funny that I think we probably all think that in some way, shape, or form.
It's funny that's what I want to do now that I've spent the last 6 months like immersing myself in it on a daily basis. Like now I just want to sit over somebody's shoulder, just watch and see how they use the information that the way I interpret it, see how they interpret it.
See, in the right context, I think with the right foundation, it can be immensely helpful. But, I probably where I was at in the journey, it would have just been nothing, right? That journey brought me to futures and then specifically like market profile. So I remember reaching out and he was like, yeah, you're not going to stand over my shoulder and watch me trade. It's not going to do anything for you. But why don't you read this book from Dalton and get back to me with some smart questions? Markets of profile.
Markets of profile or markets?
Markets in markets profile. And so of course I read it like a day and got back to him and was like, okay, I read it, I've got all these questions. He's like, no, I said, read the book and get, and I was like, no, I read the book. Let's go. And, that kind of started a little bit of a mentorship of like, okay, here's some of the things that I'm looking for and like, the concept of value and that really got me excited about futures trading, and just kind of started the journey of just finding my own way through that, you know, whether it was like trap traders or, you know, whatever the process was, ultimately finding my way to kind of like an order flow, price action, like TPO volume profiling, sort of like mix, like composite profiles and, you know, value area, high, low type trades, destination trades. And, ultimately kind of reformed that process into, sort of a mixture of all these things, right? So you meet people and again, you take like little tidbits, but, I think overarching, like the biggest thing for me is taking those little tidbits that people share, especially mm-hmm. their charts or like the little nuanced things, like something as simple, and Leo, don't laugh at me for this, but like something as simple as like breakouts fail in a bearish environment. And I just tweeted that, and that's from a good friend, or, you know, in a bullish environment, breakdowns fail. Something mm-hmm. as simple as that nuance that I think just gets overlooked when somebody puts that out there, that there's just like people just have tons of those little tidbits, like the peak above overnight high and fail, or when opening ranges are overlapping and there's like a fail to, you know, kind of get above, or, you know, destination trades from value area low to value area high, just like these little nuanced observations about how markets move from balance to imbalance and all those things. I think in addition to having some core process that you follow, like being able to pick up on those little nuances, not only like as markets in general, but like in the market you're trading, like NASI moves in such a particular way compared to like the way ES would move or CL or UB, like getting offsides in UB is probably the scariest thing. Like that scares me way more than trading NASDAQ, like getting offsides in UB and the amount of discipline and risk that it takes to trade a market like that kind of just sweeps people when they're wrong, has a way to humble you pretty quick. Hmm. But
and UB is treasury bonds.
That's the,
yeah, the 30-year ultra.
Yeah, I've never been tempted to play any of the bonds.
You aren't missing anything.
Bonds always seem boring to me.
It's boring until it's $30 a tick on one lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that does not sound
good. And it moves a handle and, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Trading UB is like having a nervous tick. You know, you put the trade on and you're just sitting there like, what's going to happen next?
Hovered over flatten.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. I only flattened for $3,000. Whew.
that's if they let you out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we mentioned it since we started hit the record button, but Leo, you are joining George on like a monthly basis now over on Mind Over Markets. Is that correct?
As of right now, unless he's already kicked me off the show.
I don't think he has. He seemed pretty excited when he announced it, so I wouldn't imagine. Yeah.
We're doing a monthly episode on some topic of either order flow or you know, maybe even just trading, general trading stuff. But
do you know what the next topic is?
I don't. I actually sent him a DM earlier and I said, what are we going to discuss next? And then I also said, are you kicking me off your show? Because I haven't really spoken to him since our last episode.
You know, he did get COVID, right?
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had COVID, not too long ago, and they were doing their workshop. Like part of that got delayed cause he was pretty sick for a portion of that.
Dang.
So he could just be catching up. Do you have his super secret email address? So that's really the one you need to talk to him.
Oh no, I only have his super secret Discord and his super secret normal email address.
Oh, okay. You might want to try to get a super secret email address because he checks that one.
You can't be giving out people's super secrets, man. What are you doing?
I'm not giving it out. I told him to ask for it. If he's still on the podcast next month, then we'll know that he gave it out. It was okay.
Uh-huh. He's going to get us in so much
trouble. Is George the type of person who breaks up with a girl by not calling her back? Is that what we're learning?
I just assume he's got a secret agent army of assassins ready to take us out at any moment.
Oh, man.
Does it third party through podcast hosts, apparently, no.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever thought about doing your own podcast?
Oh, geez.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Am I getting paid for that question too? Or?
Yeah, Leo's teed a few of these up clearly. It's very apparent now.
Well, just you guys have a lot of information, a lot of wealth of knowledge that it seems like you guys are really happy to share. It'd be a shame not to find some kind of format to let you guys do that.
Not opposed to it. Not opposed to it.
Yeah, I think it's just the extra work that goes into like setting everything up and figuring out like, well, how to get it out there to the public world.
Or if whatever, George already has Leo, we'll take Fleury.
There you go. There you go.
I think he speaks more to my style anyway.
That sounds like a healthy man crush to me.
Maybe a little bit. What's that, Dan? Are you?
Am I going to be out of a job soon?
Well, no, you can still edit.
Oh, I can still edit. I'll edit you and Fleury talking.
Worst part. Yeah. The worst part of the whole job. You can keep doing that part.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome. All right. Orderflow Labs, orderflowlabs.com. Looks like you guys have information about all the studies on your website. You have the videos for each of the tools that looks like they kind of explain each of them. Looks like just a fantastic product. I'm actually looking forward to digging into this a little bit more. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience before we let you guys get back to your life?
No, just appreciate you guys having us on and definitely take you up on the opportunity to join you guys anytime that you'd like.
Really?
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Then we'll be in touch. Probably before this recording stops.
Fair enough. Booked.
Be a lot of people on Discord happy to hear that.
It's very true. Oh, this has been such a great conversation. We want to thank you guys both again for joining us. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. If you start a podcast, you have to let us know because I'll listen. You guys got great energy together. Thank you again for coming on.
Hey, appreciate thanks for having us. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Fuck yeah. All right, folks, there you have it. Kyle, any parting words of wisdom before we shut the doors and kick everybody out?
I'm not following that.
All right.
It's way too much wisdom for me to try to add on to.
Yeah, I got nothing either. All right, so long, folks. Happy trades.
Bye. For joining two us, and find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out, download us on any streaming network, blah blah blah. You know what to do.
On any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry. All thoughts and opinions expressed trades based on what you hear in this show, not of any sum, all risks. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.